Blog Talk Radio.
Of the True Israelites, with your host, the Seer of Seed Royal.
To the four corners of the globe, praise his righteous and powerful name. Hallelujah.
Live, Yahweh's Radio. Worldwide International Radio Broadcast is now on the air. Yahweh's Radio, Yahweh's Ministry. I'll be your host by name, your Seer, Israel, of Seed Royal. We wrapping up the beautiful Black History Month of the Israelites. You know, they give the beautiful Black Israelites February month. So we wrapping up the February month of beautiful Black history of the Israelites, king of the majority of the place in Europe, not only just Britain, but they was king over a lot of places. So what we're going to try to do is get you there, get you over there when they migrated and was taken to slavery in them areas. When you is conquered, what they'll take away from you is your name. As long as you do not know your name, then you might think everybody is everybody because you don't know your name and how it's the name that you call today. So, as we complete Black History Month, beautiful Black Israelites of the Bible, History Month of the greatness they once were, and not only that, and how to return it, how to get it back. It's written, exactly, but you got to first acknowledge that you was stripped from everything that you had through disobedience. That's the key right there. You got to recognize that you've been stripped. But see, we got to recognize that first. And one thing we've been stripped from is our Creator's name. And as long as we continue to call our Creator by the names that the other people give you, you cannot be helped. Now, a little message I want to play before we bring in the young lions that can talk about some recorded history, if they got something that they can bring to the beautiful Black History Month of the Israelites, kings that they want to read a couple of passages, that's good too. But I want to play something that about the name. Let's see how long have they known about the name in writing, but I bet we can read out the Bible all day long. Find out something for a minute.
Bible. My name is Joel Kramer. I'm sure that many of you know that the name of the God of Israel is Yahweh. The name Yahweh is mentioned in the Old Testament 6,823 times. And it's been found several times in inscriptions through archaeology. But today I was about this inscription when I was reading a book by a well-known Egyptologist named Donald Redford. And he was writing about a site called Solob, which is today located in the country of Sudan, but in ancient times it was part of the kingdom of Egypt. And here the pharaoh Amenhotep III built a temple and made a list of his foreign enemies. And the name of his book is Egypt, Canaan, and Israel in Ancient Times. And so he was discussing these inscriptions when he wrote, "For half a century, it has been generally admitted that we have here the name of the Israelite God, Yahweh. And if this be the case, as it undoubtedly is, the passage constitutes a most precious indication of the whereabouts during the late 15th century BC of the enclave revering this God." I was shocked. You mean to tell me that there is an inscription mentioning Yahweh that dates to the end of the 15th century BC? That's amazing. So I went to the library. I found the Solob excavation report. This site was excavated in the 1950s, and there was the temple, and there was the inscription and the translation of the inscription. The inscription was written in Egyptian hieroglyphics. The first hieroglyph is the hieroglyph for land. The next three hieroglyphs found out the word Shazu, which is translated nomad, land of the nomad. And then the last four hieroglyphs sound out a name. The first hieroglyph is the Y sound. Then the house hieroglyph is the H. The noose is the W. And the bird is the A, the way. So together in the excavation report, they translate this name as Yahweh, land of the nomad of Yahweh. This I had to go see for myself. So I traveled to Sudan. I rented a four-wheel drive and a driver, crossed the Nile River on a local ferry, and spent the next 3 days driving on and off road, camping in the desert, all to get to this temple and all to see this inscription. The temple was built by...
All right, so they say that in the 1500s, when the children of Israel was an enemy to the sons of Ham in Egypt, and they was nomads, but they got an X in stone that the mighty one that they was followed was the mighty one called YHWH, and they pronounced YHWH because there was no vowels as Yahweh, but it was Yahweh. They couldn't pronounce it properly as we can today. Yahweh. So it says the big scholars know that his name was the four letters in the 1500s. And that's around the time they was coming up out of slavery. They came up out of slavery around about 1450-something. They came up out of Egypt as nomads, wandering to the land. And it was clear they knew that his name, because they wrote it in the 1500s. So, and today, we don't have a clue about his name. But I want the young line, before we bring him on, go on your telephone, young line, and look up the language of Jesus Christ. I want the network to hear this, young man. The language of ask your piece of telephone. The language of Jesus Christ. I just want to know what will come back in writing when you ask your phone. What was the language of Jesus Christ? A young lion, Brother Titus, ask your telephone that the language of Jesus Christ. Brother Titus,
y'all
probably beat you there, see you right.
Yahweh bless you there, Seer Israel, of Seed Roy. Hallelujah, Yahweh.
Hallelujah, Yahweh. Brother Titus, one of the young lions, up and coming teach out of Camp 1. Can you ask the language of Jesus Christ? Just like that, and let's see what can we hear of the language of Jesus Christ. What did it say there, young lion?
Okay, I got the language of Jesus Christ. It says Aramaic is best known as a language. Jesus spoke. It is a Semitic language originated in the Middle Euphrates in 1800 to 1600 BC. It spread from there to Syria and Mesopotamia.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's pretty good there, young lion. But I mean, that's good that you read it. But I want to hear the little white woman tell you the same thing. So just ask your phone, what is the language of Jesus Christ, and put it to your microphone and let the national audience, because they have a tendency, they won't believe what we say. They pay us no never mind. But they always will believe somebody else. So just ask your telephone. Say, telephone, tell me the language of Jesus Christ and put it to your microphone and let it play out there, young lion. Come on.
All right. Okay. All right. Okay, the language. Hold on. Come on, phone. All right.
Ask your phone the language. What is the language of Jesus Christ? And let her talk.
Okay. What is the language of...
Go ahead.
Hello.
According to Wikipedia, language...
What is the language of Jesus Christ?
According to pace.co.in, Aramaic is best known as the language Jesus spoke. It is a Semitic language originating in the Middle Euphrates. In 800 to 600 BC, it spread from there to Syria and Mesopotamia.
All right, so we found out the language of Jesus Christ, he spoke Aramaic, which is a dialect of Semitic. So there it is right there. So when our Lord Jesus Christ, the one that we go and pay all our tithes, free will offering, and donations to, he spoke the Semitic language. Semitic language do not have no Lord God Jesus Christ in it. So that's the reason we're in today. So now, the little white woman on your telephone, so all you got to do is, when you go back to your pastor then, say, Pastor, listen to this. Listen to this, Mr. Pastor. Before I pay you my tithes, free will offering, and donation, listen to this. What is the language of Jesus Christ? And they say, well, Aramaic, but more correctly, Semitic. Then you find Semitic had 22 alphabets, no vowels. And in the Semitic language, there's no such name as Lord God, Jesus, Allah, and Buddha. So, Mr. Preacher, I've been paying you, and you've been telling me that the reason and the season is Jesus. It ain't no name but Jesus. We find out that the one that we talking to, he didn't even speak that language. That language didn't even exist. So the name we'd be having, we'd be getting on our knees, hollering, crying, in the name of Jesus. The little white woman on the telephone says, Jesus Christ spoke the language called Semitic, meaning there's no such name in Semitic called the Lord God Jesus Christ. So you see, the little white woman said it, and all you do is ask your phone, telephone, what is the language of Jesus Christ? They'll say Semitic. Then you look up Semitic and find out it ain't no such name as Lord God Jesus. So you see why we're in the condition we're in today? Because you want to call on Lord God and Jesus. And the little white woman said, no, he spoke the Semitic language. It's no Lord God and Jesus Christ in the Semitic language, or even in the Greek language, or even in the Latin language. Matter of fact, the name that y'all calling on, it just started existing 300 years ago. Well, it's up to you. We come humble to tell you that if you don't make adjustment before the Almighty shuts you down, it's on you. It's on you. Make adjustment to that preacher. Either get right or get back. Because that's not right to keep on telling us, pray to Lord God Jesus and I telephoned from the little white woman saying he spoke Semitic language. That's up to you. All right, good enough. So we're going to get something going on there, young line. We know you got something you want to read and record the history. So if you can leave, see who else going to be on the stage with you for this lesson. And Mother E said, I'm ready to go, see her. I'm ready to go. I might be short in stature, but when it comes down to taking care of Yahweh's business, I can reach the ceiling. Hey, Mother E, Mother out of Camp 1, Yahweh beat you there, see you right here.
Yahweh bless you, see Israel, or see you right. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, Yahweh there, Mother E. Remember one thing, when it comes down to the word of Yahweh, you can't even walk through the temple. You got to bend over to walk through the temple when it comes down to you doing some Yahweh. And that's the key right there, and along with Mother Z. So in statue, as world look at you one way, but Yahweh say, when you walk in the temple, you got to bend over to get in the temple. That's how much dedication you have for some Yahweh. That's the game changer. We try to show these peoples all around the world that you've been had, you've been duped on every point. Your slave masters have not taught you right. But the reason you went into slavery of your own doing, you've done something that we're going to bring out in this beautiful Black History Month. Got a couple more days to go. We're going to bring out some good stuff and wrap it up and then get on something else. But right now, we're going to deal with the beautiful Black History Month and show you that when you went up into captivity, not only did the Almighty discontinue looking at you, the other nation gave you another name, and he's been watching you ever since and see what you do the right thing. It's up to you. So, Mother Z, we know Mother Z gonna send it a desk ready to hear something to give her comments later in the broadcast, and that's a great thing. So, young lions, Brother Titus, Luke chapter 12, verse 12, let's get something going on.
All right, we're going to the book of Luke, chapter 12, verse 12 reads, for the righteous spirit shall teach you in the same hour what you ought to say.
That's right there, young lions. The righteous spirit will teach you in that very same hour what you ought to say. Now, young lion, do you have anything that you want to bring to this beautiful Black History Month? You got to record the history that you want to read. We know tomorrow night at 8 o'clock, y'all are all going to be on Pal Talk doing some more Black History Month or what, beautiful Black History Month. But anything you want to read before we get something going on, and we'll follow your lead on anything in recorded history that you want to read out the history book pertaining to beautiful Black History Month of February for the Israelites. Kings of everywhere. Once upon a time ago, but right now we confused on every point. What you got there, young lion? Come on.
All right, I'm reading out of the Negro Question, Part 6, The 13 Black Colonies by Arthur Lee Cummings. I'm at page 100. Page 100. Okay, Benjamin Franklin. Benjamin Franklin. Europe is generally full settled with the husbandman manufacturer, and therefore cannot now much increase in people. America is chiefly occupied by Indians, who subsist mostly by hunting. But as the hunts of all man requires the greatest quantity of land from which to draw his subsistence, the husbandman subsisting on much less, the gardener on still less, and manufacturer requires the least of all. The Europeans found America and fully settled, as it were, could see by hunters. All Africa is black and 20, Asia chiefly 20, America wildly so. This means the original American Indians were a black people. Benjamin Franklin's settlement validates an untampered artifact that he just saw. The first thing that caught my attention was the phrase, the Europeans found America fully settled. He did not say our fathers because he knew that the black Scots were the first Europeans to settle in America. You cannot separate the 13 colonies from his revelatory settlement made by Benjamin Franklin. The Charterite colony had been in existence since 1607. And according to Franklin, they were black, along with the indigenous black Indians. Remember, Franklin said, all America is black. Benjamin Franklin makes this comment in 1751. And guess who was in the land with the black Indians? The black Scots. Benjamin Franklin did not lie. Benjamin Franklin said the only people that were not black were the newcomers and white and red. The white, the history of the free Negro, has disappeared from the written history of the 13 colonies.
Mm-hmm. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So what you trying to tell this national audience there, young lion, that the ancient Scots was built for black peoples and out of the, and remember King James, mm-hmm. you know, he was the king of Scotland. He was the sixth king of Scotland and the first king something we'll think about in a minute. But you trying to tell me that the Scotlands, the first Scotlands, was peoples of color? Yes. That's all we say.
Yeah, what?
It just, if you're going to teach beautiful black history of the Israelites, you got to have the records. And what we do is bring you the records and remember, we read out of history books and we tie it in with the Bible. But it's nothing, I mean, really to get happy about, because we're going to find out that the reason some things happen to people, and let's see, can we open up on something, young man? Let's see, can we open up in some what Noah said. Noah said something to his three sons. See, we want you to get happy, but don't get over happy Because, see, one thing, you have to know how to help your offspring. In the book of Jubilees there, young line, I want to look at something in the book of Jubilees, if you can help those here out.
Yes, sir.
The book of Jubilees. We want to find out something about Noah's blessing. Noah is the father's. Matter of fact, hey, Marie, who is Noah is the father of in Genesis 5:32, Mother E? Hey, Mother E, can you help those say out who is Noah the father of in Genesis 5:32? Can you help those say out there, Mother E?
Okay. The book of Genesis, chapter 5:32. And Noah was 500 years old. And Noah begat Shem, Ham, and Japheth.
Mm-hmm. So when he was 500 years old, he had three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. What did it say, Mother, in 6:10?
Genesis chapter 6:10. And Noah begat three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth.
And Noah begat three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. So they keep telling you Noah got three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. What it says in 9:18, Mother, 19 and 20. In the ninth chapter, verse 18 down to verse 20. What it say that, Mother E?
Genesis chapter 9, verses 18 to 20.
Yes, ma'am. What that say there, Mother E?
Genesis chapter 9, verse 18. And the sons of Noah that went forth of the ark were Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And Ham is the father of Canaan. These three are the three sons of Noah. And of them was the whole earth overspread. Verse 20. And Noah began to be a husbandman, and he planted a vineyard. Verse 21.
No, that's it, Mother. So we'll find out now that Noah had three sons. So now we clear, and of these three sons, everybody exists today came out of these three sons. Is that right, Mother?
Right.
So we got Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Now, now we got that knowledge on the table. Now, young lion, in the book of Jubilees, what did he tell these three sons that somebody from on high came to him to tell the three sons what? And Noah's going to talk about Noah's blessing on page 48 of the book of Jubilees. What happened next there, young lion? Help those three out there, young lion. What's going on now, young lion? Brother Titus?
All right. Going to the book of Jubilees. Going to the book of Jubilees. All right.
On page 48, that'll be chapter 9. That'll be chapter 9 there. Matter of fact, read verse 7 and 8 just to get warmed up. Jubilees chapter 9 on page 47.
Mm-hmm.
Would you read verse number 7 and 8? 7 and 8. Then we'll skip down to 14 and 15. Let's see
what
it say there, young lion. 7 and 8, 14 and 15. What it say?
The book of Jubilees, chapter 9, verse 7 and 8. Skip down verse 14 and 15. The book of Jubilees, chapter 9, verse 7. And Japheth also divided the land of his inheritance among his sons. Verse 8. And the first portion came forth for garments to the east, from the north side to the river, Tina, and in the north there came forth Magog, all inner portions of the north, till it reaches the sea of Mia. Skip down verse 14 to 15.
Well, hold that point. Hold that point there, young man. Tell me something. That so JFAT question is where again? What's the key word to understand what is JFAT portion and his son? According to what you just got through reading, can you give me, according to the last verse you read, and mother standing by to jump ready in on you if you don't come up with it quick enough, what is JFAT's portion according to the last verse you just got through reading?
In the north.
In the north. So there it is right there. So the north world belongs to Japhetic people. The northern world, the one you call today Europe and all these things, it belongs to Japhetic people. So the northern world, what you call Europe today, belongs to the Japhetic people. So now, understand that. So keep that in your mind when you hear people talk about things. Understand one thing. Whatever in the north, it belongs to Japhetic peoples. Keep that in your mind. And while you're there, and I want to know something about the north there, young man. I need to know something about the north. I need to know something that we can read about the north. Something about the north I want to read there, young man. And I need to know something about the north. What I need to know about the north. I'll tell you what. Just keep reading. It'll come to me. But keep reading down to verse 14. Let's find out. Now, we know Japhetic peoples is given the north.
Mm-hmm.
Now read verse 14 and 15 there, young man.
The book of Jubilees, chapter 9, verses 14 and 15. Book of Jubilees, chapter 9, verse 14. And thus the sons of Noah divided unto their sons in the presence of Noah, their father. And he bound them all by an oath, deprecated a curse of everyone that sought to seize the portion which had not fallen to him by his lot. Verse 15. And they all said, so be it, so be it, for themselves and the sons forever throughout their generation, to the day of judgment, on which Yahweh is to judge them with a sword and with fire for all unclean wickedness of their errors, wherewith they have filled the earth with sin and uncleanness and fornication and sin.
Okay. So now Noah was told by the Mighty One to his three sons about your geographic location. Okay, good. Now what I want to know, young lion, and the mother will be standing by listening, If you're not in your land, what's going on that we can read that was told by the Mighty One? If you're not in the portion that the Almighty given you, and you find yourself somewhere else, what is the penalty of it in days to come that we can read? Young lion, and remember, the mothers are standing by, looking at, listening real carefully. Come on.
All right, if you're not in your land, Yahweh gonna judge you with sword and with fire, with wickedness.
So,
if you're not.
Okay. So if you're not in your land, but the you is according to what the name of the descendants is to you. Can you make it more specific? According to the conversation we're on right now, who is to you, that if you're not in your land, according to what you just got to read, who is to you? You got a sentence of who?
The sentence of Noah.
Mother just got through reading. Mother just got through reading it. I need to know who's the who by name. Who's the who?
Noah and his sons. And their sons.
Yeah. What's their name?
Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Shem, Ham, and Japheth.
Okay, good. So if you're not in your land, when the Almighty starts making it, and you have to be in a land that the Almighty has given you, so he's given Shem a portion, Ham a portion, and he gave Japheth. What part did he get Japheth again?
To the north, the northern world.
To the north. Okay, good. All right, that's real nice. That's real nice. Okay, if he gave Japheth the north. Now, Mother E, help those see out there. So now we see three sons got a portion from the Mighty One. And if you're not in your portion, I don't care what your conversation is, you don't. Is that what we're reading so far? Is that what we're reading?
Hallelujah.
Okay, well, sooner or later, somebody's going to talk back to the overseer. Now, Mother, in the book of Deuteronomy, Mother, remember we teach spirit-led from Yahuwah, and we just play it the way it goes out. Let's see what he says in the Deuteronomy chapter 2, Mother. Something he says in Deuteronomy chapter 2, and we're going to pick up at verse number 1. Let's see what he says. Hey, Mother E, let's see what Deuteronomy chapter 2, verse 1 says. Now remember, the Almighty sent an angel, the Holy Ghost, down there and told Noah, you got some three boys, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. They all got land. Matter of fact, your boy Shem is going to have a double portion. Now, but you tell these three boys as they make sure they tell their descent, do not leave your land and go bogart another person's land. Because if you do, when I come back, I'm going to kill you with some fire and a sword. So now, anytime you in any other land besides the land that Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and Shem got a double portion. Now, if you caught in anybody else's land, it's just like the music of cherubs. You know, if you got 9 cherubs and 10 peoples, when the music stops, somebody is not going to get a seat, right?
Mm-hmm.
See? You keep breaking down. So, the foundation is, if you're not in your land, you are a walking curse in the eyes of the Almighty. I don't care what you got going on. Is that well understood right now, mothers and young lions? Is that pretty good,
Rosia
fan?
Yes, sir.
I'm talking pretty good. Okay, good. I'm talking pretty good. Now let's see what happens. Let's see what happened in Deuteronomy chapter 2, verse 1. Well, mothers, read a little bit. We'll read down to verse number 5 and 12. We go on to Deuteronomy 2, 1 through 5, and verse number 12. One down to verse 5 and 12. What did it say that, Mother E?
The book of Deuteronomy, chapter 2, verses 1 to 5, and verse 12. Verse 1. Then we turned and took our journey unto the wilderness by the way of the Red Sea, as the Yahweh spake unto me. And we compassed Mount Seir many days. Verse 2. And the Yahweh spake unto me, saying, verse 3, you have compassed this mountain long enough, turn you northward. Verse 4, and command thou the people, saying, ye are to pass through the coast of your brethren, the children of Esau, which dwell in Seir, and they shall be afraid of you. Take you good heed unto yourself. Therefore, verse 5, meddle not with them, for I will not yield you of their land, nor not so much as a foot breadth, because I have given Mount Seir unto Esau for a possession. Verse 12. The Horus also dwell in Seir before time, but the children of Esau succeed them when they had destroyed them from before them and dwell in their cities, as Isaac did unto the land of his possession, which the Yahweh gave unto them.
So, Israel. Mother, what have we read so far? We read about Shem, Ham, and Japheth. They all got their land. Then another people that came out of one of them cities called Shem, Ham, and Japheth called Esau. And Esau was given, he was also given the land by the Mighty One. So now Esau is today what you call the white man and the white woman. So even they was given the land. So now wherever the white man and the white woman is at today, but according to the Bible, where is their homeland is at, according to the Bible? Mount Seir. Oh. So the white man and the white woman don't belong in Japhetic land, which called the north, which you call Europe. Because he didn't give them the land of Europe. He gave it to the Japhetic people. Is that what we read?
Hallelujah. Mm-hmm.
And if you in any other land that is not yours, what are you up under? I don't care how good it look in the world, what are you up under?
A curse.
A little bit louder.
A curse.
Now, what city is the Vatican City in? The Vatican City, what city is... What place is the Vatican City in? With all that gold, luxury, what city is the Vatican City in?
That's Japheth, the northern world.
And what world again?
The northern world,
Japhetic land, which they call now Europe, right?
Yes, sir.
So all the luxury that you have over there in the Vatican City, what's called the Roman Catholic Church. They are located in the Vatican City in Europe in the northern world of Japhetic peoples. But as they dictate the world about what is the Almighty saying, but according to the Bible, what is the Vatican City is up under by not being in their land, in Japhetic land? According to the Bible, what are they up under?
They're up under a curse.
What?
Curse.
I can't get that this time, but the bottom line is...
They're up under a curse. They're up under a curse here.
Now, come back and read what the angel told from the Father and the Son, again, pertaining to, if you do so, what's going to happen in time to come? Come back to that verse. Again, read 14 and 15 one more time there, young life. So keep that in your mind. We're going to read again the blessing of Noah. Now, his blessing was to talk to his three boys and tell them what that we can read.
The book of Jubilees, chapter 9, verse 14 and 15. Jubilees, chapter 9, verse 14. And thus the sons of Noah divided to their sons in the presence of Noah, their father. And he bound them all by an oath, imprecating a curse on everyone that sought to seek the portion which had not fallen to him by his lot. Verse 15. They all said, so be it, so be it, for themselves and their sons forever throughout their generation, to the day of judgment, of which Yahweh should judge them with a sword and with fire for all unclean wickedness of their errors, wherewith they have filled the earth with transgression, uncleanness, and fornication and sin.
So now I want to go to recorded history and find out when did the descendants of Esau was translated today as the white man and the white woman. Clock started ticking, and they became a curse. I want to go and see, can we find recorded history? When did the white man and the white woman become a curse? That we can read. I want to read it out of the book. And who can help those here according to historian Lee Cummins' book? He's going to tell us something there, young lion. I want to know, when did the white man and the white woman became on clock a curse? Because if you migrate to anybody's land, I want to know the record that we can read out of a book, mm-hmm. when the white man and the white woman became a curse. Now, I can't find my part four, so can anybody help me out? Because I'm looking in part six, although it got it written in there too. But I want to read, when on record did the white man and the white woman come into the north of Japhetic land, and that prophecy starts kicking in that we can read. Can anybody help the OCR? Is anybody going to help the OCR on that? I need a date that we can read. I want to read it first, then comment on it. Now, I don't know why I can't just walk into it right now. Like I said, again, we don't never rehearse nothing. We just play it by it as it unfolds itself. But it's written in volume 4 and volume 6, a timeline. Mm-hmm. And now I'm struggling on the timeline because I want to read it. See, I can speak what I think, but it's just like me speaking and tell you that the Almighty did not speak English. But when you let the white woman tell you they didn't speak English, it's up to you to make a adjustment. Matter of fact, ask your telephone again, young line up. The language of Jesus Christ again. See, let your telephone tell you the language of Jesus Christ. But stick it to the microphone and let those hear the language of Jesus Christ. Let's hear it again, that young line.
The language of Jesus Christ.
Aramaic. According to Pace.co.in, Aramaic is best known as the language Jesus spoke. It is a Semitic language originating in the Middle Euphrates. In 800 to 600 BC, it spread from there to Syria and Mesopotamia.
So you see, the white lady says the language that Jesus Christ spoke was Semitic language. And you take your time, Mr. Preachers, or you those that's members up on these preachers and say, Mr. Preacher, if Jesus spoke Semitic language and it's got 22 alphabets and no vowels, when he never heard of no man called Jesus Christ. So how is Jesus Christ as I answer back? He didn't speak no English. English went to 449 A.D. So why is he calling our mighty one for salvation the Lord Jesus Christ, and he didn't even speak it according to the white woman? Well, where'd you get that from? Well, I got it from the white woman. What white woman said that? Ask your telephone what white woman said that. The white woman on the telephone said that. That who said it. So that who said the white woman said it. They said it. Now, he spoke the Semitic language. So he couldn't be speaking Semitic and English at the same time, because it didn't even fit. So that Lord God and Jesus, Christ, it ain't going to cut it. But if you want to continue the parakeet thing, you go keep right on doing it. But you're going to come up short. It's just like not knowing that you can't take your own money and migrate in a land that's not yours. You can play big time if you want to. But in the end of it, according to Noah said, the man going to, you'll be under curse. And when he comes back, he's going to bind you with that. For going into a land that's not yours. So now, so you're clear. So whatever you see going on today, if you see the Japhetic peoples, yeah, they've been pushed out of their land. And not only did the Japhetic peoples get pushed out of their land by the descendants of Esau, somebody else did it too. And we're going to read that too. So when you see things is to help folks to understand one thing, yeah, you skinny and grinning now, but a price you're going to pay according to Noah. Now, I want I really like to find me some kind of hit on that, young man. I really like to hear something about that. About when did the white man come into Japhetic land? You know, I want it to be read, not talked about it. And I don't know why I can't find it right now. And see, that's why, you know, see every now and then he get hung up. But we know it's somewhere that we just go turn to it and just read. Mm-hmm. When did the white man come into Japhetic land bringing the white woman? When did it? We want to be able to read it. So now, can't nobody up those CR, huh?
Okay. Okay, the question, Negro Part 4. I'm at page 29. Hope this is it. I'm at page 29. It says, these are some black Irish that came here on slave ship directly from Europe. Ladies and gentlemen, the Scots, Irish, Welsh, Brits are the same people according to Boyd Dawkins, our earliest ancestors. When the English invaded England in 449 A.D., they pushed the black English west to the Wales, Scotland, and Ireland. Mr. Boyd Dawkins further states that the 667 A.D., the whites, now call themselves English, have pushed these blacks on to a land that cannot sustain them. Whatever you...
Well, hold on, y'all. Well, that's one of the good hits. That's right, and I like that. See, I like when somebody of the Six Anointed Camp step up to the plate and say something. You know, because I like to lay back and act like I'm hearing something, so I can comment on it. So now we find out that the whites, on record, but who is telling this poor Dawkins? Who is this guy? So who is this guy able to tell this story, and who is he telling this story to? Now, we want to find out who is this talking, and is he talking to, so can you go in your curriculum books and read this story? I need to know who is he talking to and telling this story to. Is he getting on Channel 2 Peggy playing news and telling? I'd like to know in writing who is he telling this to. See, that's the point. Who is he telling this to? Now, that's what I want to know. In writing, I want to know who is Professor Historian Boyd Duncan. Who is he telling this to that we can read? That we can read.
So
we got, we still got 2-3 good days of beautiful Black History Month of the Israelites. So I'd like to know, in right, who is the historian, Dr. Boyd Duncan? Who is he talking to? What is his audience? Can anybody help me out? Can anybody help me out?
His audience. Who is his audience?
Yeah. No help. Ophelia can't
get
no help.
Who's his audience? Okay. Okay.
I wanna read it out of these books. Yeah. I like to read who is his audience. Who is he talking to? You know, that's what I want to do. I want to read. Who is he telling that to?
All right.
I want to flat out look at who is he talking to that we can read. He's talking to somebody.
Okay.
Can anybody help me out?
Okay.
We got
who is he talking to?
All right.
Okay, Boyd Dawkins, Professor Boyd Dawkins. Who is he speaking? Who is he talking to?
I want to know. I want to know from your book. You can put. I want to know through your book. Who is he talking to? See, I want to be able to read it. But I'll tell you what I do. I put that to the side because I want to be clear that he was talking to somebody about this. So you think he was talking, but I want to read who was he telling this to. I want to know more about Dr. Historian Boyd Duncan. Who is he telling this story to that we can read? So
okay.
I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll put that down to maybe Wednesday. We'll put it down. Mm-hmm. I don't think the first of the month is. I think we still be in February month Wednesday. If I'm correct, we still be in February month Wednesday.
No.
All right. You said Wednesday.
Yeah.
That'll be the first. It'll be going into March.
Okay, so when is the end of February month? When is February month over with?
Today? Yeah.
You mean it's the last day of February month?
Tomorrow.
Okay. Third witness,
well,
yeah, tomorrow.
Well, that's why the Almighty said, well, you better kick it up on high gear now. If this is the last day, and then tomorrow ain't no class unless you go to Pell Talk tomorrow. Pell Talk tomorrow is no class on this broadcast. Go to the Negro Question Part 4 there, young man.
Yeah, that's all great.
We're going to look at page 5. If we go on to page 5.
Oh, I have to try.
What page?
And we're going to look at.
That is a.
Page 5.
Real.
And we will pick it up where it talks about.
Yeah.
You see what it says, stop at the top. Mm-hmm. Stop at the top there, young language has about this professor. Let's read about some of his background history, the professor. What about it? Young language, right about the top.
All right. The Negro Question, Part 4, Lee Cummings, page 5, from the top. Professor Boyd Dawkins, our earliest ancestor of bygone days, a lecture delivered in Public Hall, Colony, Hurst, Manchester, January the 8th, 1879.
Okay, good. So now he's talking to who again now? Read that again a little bit slower there. You know, just put a little bass in your voice and read that again. Now, Professor Boyd Dawkins doing what again?
Professor Boyd Dawkins, our earliest ancestors, bygone days, a lecture delivered in the public hall, Colony, Hurst, Manchester, January the 1st, 1879.
So he's talking about, he's talking to our earliest ancestors. So he's talking to a people saying, he's telling them, he said, listen, our early ancestors, our bloodline, our. So he's talking to our. So now we just find out who these our he's talking to. Because we'll say, like in days of watching the February month, master do our head hurt. We'll say that in a minute. No, your head don't hurt, my head hurt. He'll say, master do our head hurt. You see that? So now, what is it next? The ancient?
The ancient?
Now you tell it. Yeah.
The ancient Britons, Irish, Scots, are short black people.
Ain't that crazy? So he's telling our earliest ancestors that the peoples that's ancient in Britain, Irish, Scott, short, page you're in the Bible. Good. All right, good. We're doing good so far. Then what do we say this other professor says in, let's keep reading. What does the next professor say? See, all these professors was called to some place to do some talking to inform our ancestors. That's what he's saying. What was the next statement saying by Dr. Who?
Dr. Thornam, Nature Journal of Science, page 92.
Great.
From the evidence at hand, it seems that the Iberian black man occupied the whole Western Europe at one time.
That's Iberian. Iberian. What they call Hibernia, what they call Hebrew, what they call Eber, what they call Shem.
Okay.
So, listen, we got to be clear how to deal with this thing. So Iberian is Hibernia. Hibernia, what they call the Hibernia, they're talking about the Hebrews, and the Hebrews is talking about Eber, and Eber is the descendants of Shem, Genesis 10:22. So he's telling that all the people that came out of Shem that inhabit how much of Europe?
Western Europe at one time. The whole Western Europe at one time.
The whole Western Europe at one time. He said the whole Western Europe was descendants of Eber. They called the Hebrew. Hibernia to the word called Liberia. And Liberia became known today as Spain and Portugal. And now his name is Spain and Portugal. He said everybody was over there in Spain, Portugal, Liberia, them are nothing but a bunch of black Hebrews, from Hebrew, from Shem. You see that? Remember, he's telling our ancestors this thing. He had a group of peoples. He let them know about what will not be in your school books. Good. Now, what happened next?
Okay. Professor Huxley. Huxley, 1870. Okay. The Iberian polluted for Shem, the Shemitic people. Okay. All right, rape.
Page what? 13. No,
page
what?
332.
We didn't want to hide nothing. We don't want to hide nothing. We don't call it all out. So he says to their young man, Iberia.
Right. The Iberian, which we know the Shemitic. Okay, then you got best Basque, black bones have been found all over Europe with his animals.
Mm-hmm. Okay, he's still talking. Go ahead and read. What does he say?
I have inserted the writings of 8 English white historians to show you that our white brothers, who were closer to the epic center, didn't have a problem telling the truth about the original inhabitants of Europe. These Welshmen, Britons, Irishmen, Frenchmen, Russians, Germans, Italian and sweaty were in Europe thousands of years before the English arrived in 449 A.D. And this will be proven by the writings of one Professor Boyd Dawkins, Professor of Genealogy at Manchester University, London. Professor Boyd Dawkins was invited to speak in the public hall in Manchester, London, January 18, 1879.
You see, what was he invited to? What was he invited to?
Speak to that? In the public hall in Manchester, London, January, at Manchester University.
Now, at this time, 1879, it was no peoples of color invited to hear this lecture. But all the big dignitaries came to tell those that's the educators. Now, we got a problem here, but we're going to let you know that the records have shown every time we do an archaeology dig, all we find is ancient black folks, even the animals and everything. We don't find none of us. And on record, we didn't even get to Europe until 449 A.D. So that's when the curse was put on the peoples that he was talking to. When they left Mount Seir, their land, and then migrated as a mass of peoples in 449 A.D. and started causing trouble from 449 A.D. to this day. Taking all the records and whitewashing all the records. So on record, he's telling seven more big historians, they was all invited to this great big dignitary place. And all of them got the record from Boyd Dawkins that everybody in Europe, before we got there in 449, our kinfolks, they was black folks, black and beautiful peoples, and we came over there with our pale red self, and now took every name that's over there, now that's our name. Now when you see here the name called Russian, German, Irish, Briton, every name you hear now, you in your mind, through your teaching, your education, you will swear that it is white folks. Why you got to do the 1434, 2 Ezra, you know what I'm saying? What it says in 14:34. See, the only way we can help you, let me tell you now, always the six anointed camps can help you. Here's what you got to do. 2 Ezra 14:34. What it say?
Go out to the book of 2 Ezra, the seer, chapter 14, verse 34. Therefore, if so be that you will subdue your own understanding and reform your mind, and you should be kept alive, and after death, you should obtain mercy.
He said you got to reform your own mind. You got to say, simple example, you're Catholic. And now you know that the Catholic peoples is the sinners of Esau, called the white man and the white woman. And you find out that their location is called the Vatican City in Europe. I don't care how good it look, but according to the Bible, the white man and white woman don't belong in that land. And by migrating to that land in 449, what began when they hit that shore, that soil in 449? According to historical documents, facts, what happened the minute they stepped their foot in the northern world in 449 A.D. by their own people? Professor Boyd Duncan said that. And he was at this great big university, right? Is that right so far?
That's right, sir. Yes,
and
sir.
And he had all the other big dignitaries with him. And they was all at the big university saying, on record, we came to Europe in 449 A.D. And we are descendants of Esau, the white man and the white woman. When we hit that shore, that put our foot on that soil, what did we automatically became in 449 A.D. according to the Bible? Who on the earth will see out? What happened?
They came.
Anybody else don't see out? What happened to 449 once they feet hit the northern world, put their foot on it? Boom. What happened? What just kicked in?
That curse.
Anybody else don't see out?
That curse called the Jubilee chapter 9.
Hold on to young man. Let's go back and read again what happens when you do so. Let's go back to Jubilees again, page 34, and read 14 and 15. I mean, y'all not talking fast enough to the seer, but we know that we on point. So what happens when 449 hit? According to Jubilees chapter 9, 14 and 15. Read again there, young lion.
The book of Jubilees, chapter 9, verses 14 and verse 15. And thus the sons of Noah divided unto their sons in the presence of Noah, their father. And he bided them all by an oath, imprecated a curse on everyone that sought to seek the portion which had not fallen to him by his lot. Verse 15. They all said, so be it, so be it. For themselves and their sons forever throughout their generation to the day of judgment, on which Yahweh should judge them with a sword and with fire and all unclean wickedness of their errors, wherewith they have filled the earth with transgression and uncleanness and fornication and sin.
Mm-hmm. So, according to Professor Historian Boyd Duncan, when the white man and the white woman put their feet on the shore of Japhetic land in 449, what clocks just started ticking? What? What was the clock that was ticking?
A curse.
A curse started ticking in 449 A.D. And where is the Vatican City where the Pope is at right now? What land he in right now?
to the north.
And what he up under?
A curse.
That's just the way it is. So those you all that is Catholics, understand according to historical documents, facts, if you is in a land that's not yours, you up under a curse. You see? Today it is right now. So now we're going to find out who else. Now we're going to find out who else up under a curse. So we know, and according to Professor Historian Boyd Dawkins, at this great big university, all the big scholars came. He said, now listen, we, our ancestors, the white man and the white woman, we came to the northern world in 449 A.D. The clock started ticking. We up on a curse. So now you know they thinking, God, dog, what can we do behind that? Well, what you got to do behind that, you got to do what everybody else got to do. Come to knowledge of yourself and find out where you, who you really are. And make sure you're in pocket like the musical chairs. Make sure you don't get caught at the wrong time and the wrong hour and the wrong time and the wrong place. That's all. But clearly you know one thing. Can't just say the Germans, the Russians, the Swedes, all these is white folks, because these names was to another people that you have bogarted and taken. Really? Mm-hmm. Now, we got that part out the way. Now, Mother, come on back to Joshua 24. Let's read Joshua 24. Then after we got that out the way, we're going to read Joshua 24. And see, what we want to do is to make sure the Almighty is doing the talking. What was said in the book of Joshua 24? If something was said that we can read in Joshua 24 of the Bible, since we know what we do know and we're going back and using historical documents, facts, something was said, Mother E, in Joshua 24, and it was some said that we can read. What he says in, what verse I want? I want to be able to read it.
Maybe I can find me some kind of Bible.
And look at Joshua 24. Okay, you got me a book. Now, in Joshua 24, Mother, can you help those see out? We want to make sure the Almighty doing the talking. Let's see what he says that we can read in Joshua 24. Where's Joshua 24 and verse 4? What he says in verse 4, Joshua 24 and verse 4. What he says we can read, 24 verse 4. Mother E. Let's see, can we find Joshua chapter 24 verse 4. Hey, Mother E, what do Joshua 24 verse 4 say?
The book of Joshua 24 verse 4. And I give unto Isaac, Jacob, and Esau. And I give unto Esau Mount Seir, and to possess it. But Jacob and his children went down into Egypt.
Mm-hmm. So again, he'll say it again. I gave Esau a descendant of geographic location, and what? And Esau is Genesis 25:25, as the white man and the white woman. So the Almighty gave them what in verse 4? What did he give them in verse 4?
Mount Seir.
What about Mount Seir? brown seer to the white man and
that's
the white woman.
That's state possession. That's state possession.
That's state possession. Unless the Almighty made a mistake, that's state possession. That's what he gave you. See? That's what he gave you. And he gave us something too. See, he gave, so the Almighty is the one that give out some things. So he gave Esau them Mount Seir. He said, that is their possession. And I don't know in the Bible, is there anywhere in the Bible that they had no problem of going to their homeland? I want to go in the Bible and take a look. Can anybody help me out and tell me, did they have any problem of going to their own homeland? You know, they'll tell you in a minute, they'll tell you, go back to Africa. Go back where you came from. Yeah?
Yep.
But have y'all ever to say, well, why don't you go back where you came from? Nobody never said that, do they? Huh? Why don't you turn that back and say, well, why don't you go back where you came from? Okay? So sooner or later, you have to go back to where you came from.
Mm-hmm.
And let's see. Let's now, when we have to see out, I mean, I'm struggling all over the place. But I want to read in Genesis, and in the Bible, you have to see out again. You want to read in Genesis something. How about Genesis 33 there? Hey, mother, how about reading Genesis 33? Let's see, can we find out something in Genesis 33, verse number 15 and 16. And you have to see out in Genesis 33. Verse number, 15 and 16.
Genesis chapter 33, verses 15 and verse 16. Verse 15 reads, and Esau said, let us now be with thee, some of the folks that are with me. And he said, what needs it? Let me find grace in the sight of my Yahweh. 16. So Esau returned that day on his way unto Seir.
Ain't that so? So Esau returned back to where, mother?
Seir. Now Seir. It says Seir, but...
So he returned back to his homeland. So you see that? So there it is again. He returned back to his homeland, Seir. Mount Seir is his homeland. That was the Almighty gave the white man and the white woman. And gave them a homeland called Mount Seir. So you go to your Google map and you can find it just below Israel. That's what Mount Seir is. Okay, good. Now let me do with all that now. So now you see now, when you do things and violate the Bible, you start the clock ticking on you. So keep that in your mind. Whatever you do, if it's violating the Bible, you start the clock ticking on you. It's up to you to repent and come to the mouth and then straighten up and fly right. Once you understand this, matter of fact, help me out there, young man. In the 95th chapter, verse 7, go to Psalms, and what it says in 95, verse 7, what do it say that we can read when the angel came to David and told him something in 95, verse 7? What did he say to him?
We're going to the book of Psalms, chapter 95, verse 7. Psalms, chapter 95, verse 7 reads, for it is our Yahweh, and we are the people of this pasture and the sheep of this hand. Today, if you will hear his voice.
Verse 8.
Harden not your mind in the provocation, that is the day of temptation in the wilderness.
Okay, good. He said today. So once you understand these things, today, You know, when you hear the truth of the matter today, make a justice. Understand one thing, that the man is not lying. He's saying, now, if I catch you like the music of cherub in a land that's not yours, I'm going to get you. So everybody on the face of the earth got a land to be at when he come back. And it's a precept. It's a precept there. I hear you in the background, Mother Z, so you must tell me the precept I'm looking for. It's a precept that tells that one, when he do come back, something. Now who want to help those see out on that? It's a precept that tells of something in the book, I just tell you, in Isaiah. It tells us something in Isaiah that on his return, that something you got to know. Can anybody help them see out on that? There's something you got to know when he returns. Now, who will help them see on that? Who will help them see on something you got to know when he returns? Can anybody help them see out on that? It's something we got to know. When Almighty come back, it's something we must know that is written. And what is that we can read? It's something we got to know. I'll take a shot at it, but, you know, I was looking for all kind of help to see out.
Okay.
But it's something we got to know when the Almighty come back. And I'll take a shot at it, but, you know, every now and then, the old seer, he'll get weary every now and then. But something that I need to know when he come back. So thank you there, Mother Z. I hear you, Mother Z. So Mother Z said, okay, seer, you know, I can entertain with this. If you a little weary, I can entertain with it. Okay, good, Mother Z. Let's go to Isaiah 13 now, young lion. Look what it says in verse 13 through 15. Thank you there, Mother Z. 13 to 15. Isaiah chapter 13, verse 13, 14, and 15. Let's hear this out.
The book of Isaiah is here. Chapter 13, verse 13 and 15. Therefore I will shake the heavens, and the earth shall remove out of her place, and the wrath of Yahweh of hosts in the day of his fierce anger. Verse 14. And there shall be as a chased roe, and as a sheep that have that no man take it up, and they every man turn to his own people, and flee everyone to his own land. Verse 15. Everyone that is found should be thrust through, and everyone that is joined unto them shall fall by the sword.
Now who wanna deal with that? Who wanna deal with that 13 now in verse 15? Now we heard it read. Now who wanna break that down? 13, 14, and 15. Now who wanna break that down? What we just got through here read.
All right.
Yeah.
So this Isaiah 13, the breakdown of this. Okay. So, you know, Yahweh coming with a spirit of anger. Okay. So pretty soon, every people, they're going to go back to that land that was dated to them. They're going to scatter back to their own land. Then if everyone that is found, and everyone that is joined to them, they're going to fall by the sword. It means you take a heed to what they got on the table. You're going down along with them as well, too.
Hey, Moby, you agree with that, Moby? You agree with what he's saying, Moby?
Mm-hmm.
Are you want to take it another direction? Do you agree what he just got through saying? Or you want to add a little bit more to it? What do you think? You want to add a little bit more to it?
Okay. I think he was saying that, well, on the last part of it, I don't know if he said that the ones that's not going to be in his own lineage, the one that's not going to be in his own land, they shall be found by the Lord. So, I don't know.
You don't know? Hey, young man, what do St. John 3:11 say behind that, young man?
I don't know what you're going to say.
I know that John chapter 3. Verse 11. Truly, truly, I say unto you, we speak that we do know and testify that we have seen, and you receive not our witness.
Yeah, well, the buck got to stop with somebody, mother. And somebody got to have the note. So the buck stopped with us. We got to know what they're saying. And 13 down 14, 15 saying, once one Yahweh is coming back, and he giving you time to flee to your own land. Now, if he do not find you in your own land, you go and then you join on to other people in their land, and you know you don't belong in that land, then you going down with them. So just like somebody tell you, okay, I got a great job for you in Europe. Okay, well, you got to buy it. You got to weigh up the cost of it. You never know what time the Almighty is coming back. So, and remember, hey, Mother E, what he says in St. John 7:6. So this is the point he makes. He said, if I catch you not in your own land, he said, I'm going to give you opportunities to flee every man to his own land. Now, if you're not in your own land when I come back, then verse 15 going to kick in, you will be dealt with by the sword and fire, according to what Noah said. So don't let a good opportunity and buying time for Mr. Needmore and find yourself not in the land that your forefathers both been told you exactly your land. Because it's going to come a time, and we might read it in this lesson, exactly what's going to happen. People, this dreadful day come when he do what? Young Lion in 3 verse 11. See, before this dreadful day come in Isaiah 3:11,
You have to see out
what
he's
going to do in
3:11. We're going to Isaiah 3, verse 11. Read. Isaiah 3, verse 11. Woe to the wicked. It should be ill with him. For the reward of
hold
the
on. Hold on, young line. Hold on, young. I mean, 13, verse 11.
13.
Stay with that. Isaiah 13, verse 11.
Isaiah chapter 13, verse 11. And I will punish the world for their evil and the wicked for their sin. And I will cause the arrogancy of the proud to cease and will lay low the haughtiness of the terrible.
So what he say he going to do to the world, young man? Take your time, young man. Because we're trying to edify those that want to hear the truth.
Mm-hmm.
What is he going to do and time to come and verse 13, 13:11?
Yahweh go punish the world for their evil.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
If you got a proud
he gonna punish here,
he's going to punish you for it.
Mm-hmm. He says, when he come, he's going to punish you for what? What is he going to punish you for? that we can read, what is he going to punish you for in verse 14?
Verse 14 reads, and it shall be as a chased roe, as a sheep, that no man take it up. They shall every man turn to his own people and flee, everyone to his own land.
So what is he going to punish you for, according to verse 14?
What are you going to punish you for? According to verse 14. Yeah, because he going to punish you for if you get caught. If you get caught in the land that was not given to you, if you get caught in somebody else's land, he's going to punish you for it.
He's going to punish you for not being in the land he gave your forefathers and foremothers. He's going to punish you for it. And how is he going to punish you for it in verse 15?
Verse 15. And everyone that is found should be thrust through, and everyone that is joined unto them shall fall by the sword.
But what gonna happen to the little ones according to the next verse? What gonna happen to the little ones according to the next verse?
Verse 16. Their children also should be dashed to pieces before their eyes, and their families should be forced, and their wives ravaged.
You mean all this going to happen by not being in your own land when he come back? Yes, Leroy. He got it written in his Bible, didn't he? So do you know that I don't care how much you educated, I don't care how much you are, do you know this man going to punish you for not knowing who you are and where you're supposed to be at a time appointed? Like Professor Boyd Doctors was saying, ever since 449 A.D., when we left our homeland called Mount Seir and stepped into the north world of Japhatic land, the clock had been ticking. And guess what we did? We put the sword on everybody there. Oliver Cromwell, sold the children back to America from Liverpool. The Pope built up a city called the Vatican City. They did all this stuff in land that's not there. So now, with this understanding, Mother, what is this? Hey, Mother, it's 7 verse 6.
7 verse 6 or what?
Now what? St. John.
Okay. Oh, St. John chapter 7 verse 6. Then Yahweh said unto them, my time is not yet come, but your time is always ready.
So you mean your time? Our time, that's why you got to give it all you got every time you come. Your time is always ready. You don't know when this man going to do what he going to do. But we trying to get you aware of it. He going to do it. But your time is always. So those that, you know, headquarters is the Roman Catholic Church over there in Japhatic land called Europe, you're upon a curse. And if you don't start figuring out a way to get to what he gave you, unless he made a mistake. I don't think he made a mistake. Everybody got to be in their own lane. At a time to come, the children of Israel going to get up and start heading back to their land too, Israel. But right now, they're in the same predicament everybody else in. Through their own disobedience. But when you get on the right track, you probably hear in the next lesson about exactly when you hear that horn blowing, you got to know what to do. You got to know where your own land is at. But you got to know who you are first. Now, in the book of Jubilees, Young Lion, let's go to Jubilees 10.
Yes, sir.
We're going to Jubilees 10 and verse 1. Now, Jubilees 10:1, what it say?
All right, I'm in the book of Jubilees, chapter 10, verse 1. Jubilees chapter 10, verse 1. And in the third week of this Jubilee, the unclean demons began to let astray the children, the sons of the Lord, to make error and destroy them. Verse 2.
Well, hold on, a young man. I made a little error. Make that the book of Jasper, 10:1. Make that Jasper 10:1. Thank you for catching that, Mother Z. See, you mean Jasper? Yeah, that's right. Thank you for catching me up there, Mother. In the book of Jasper, chapter 10, verse 1, I need to know something. And Jasper 10:1.
All right, I'm in the book of Jasper, chapter 10, verse 1. Book of Jasper, chapter 10, verse 1. And Peleg, the son of Eber, died in those days, in the 48th year of the life of Abram, son of Terah. And all the days of Peleg were 239 years. Verse 2. And when Yahweh scattered the sons of man on account of their sin at the tower, behold, they spread forth in many divisions, and all the sons of man were dispersed in the four corners of the earth. Verse 3, and all the families became each according to its language, its land, or its city. Verse 4, and the sons of man built many cities according to their families, and all the places where they went, and throughout the earth where Yahweh had scattered them. Verse 5, and some of them built cities in the place from which they were afterward interplated. Interplated, and they called these cities after their own names and the names of their children or after their particular occurrences. Verse 6, the sons of Japheth, the sons of Noah, went and built themselves cities in the places where they were scattered, and they called their cities after their names, and the sons of Japheth were divided upon the face of the earth into many divisions and language.
Good. So Japheth, when see man of the three sons was never to be together. They hovered up on a Ham, and he didn't want it that way, so he had to go and give him a boot to kick him to get in their own place. So Japhetic peoples had to leave and go to their own land. And their land was the northern world. So now he got them in the northern world. And when they got there, every place in the northern world was named what kind of way? Everything was in the northern world was named what kind of way, according to verse 5 and 6?
The book of Jasher, chapter 10, verse 5 and verse 6. And some of them built cities in the places where they were afterward interplated. And they called these cities after their own names, or the name of their children.
Oh, good, good. So when you migrate, when Japhetic peoples migrate to the north, every place over there was called what kind of way?
After their own names.
After their own names. See that? So when they migrated, every place was called after their own name. And that's what you do. So the place you call Europe, he had no descendants called Europe. All his descendants was Japhetic people, and it's after their own name that he gave them. Verse 6.
The sons of Japheth, the son of Noah, went and built themselves cities in the places where they were scattered. They called their cities after their names. And the Psalms
they called their cities after their names. So that's what you do. Wherever you go, wherever you migrate to, you take your name, your biblical name to you. So all the other names you got is not your biblical name. The northern world, we see the word Europe there, is Japhetic land. And you must call a place by their name according to the record book. Now go Jubilees, and let's find out something in 8:25. Go on Jubilees chapter 8, verse 25 there, young lion. Now we're going to Jubilees. It's something else we got to figure out. We got to figure out something else that we can read. In Jubilees 8:25, what it say?
All right, we're going to the book of Jubilees, chapter 8, verse 25. And for Japheth came forth the third portion beyond the river Tina to the north of the outflow of its water, and it is standing north, eastly to the whole region of eastly to the whole region of God, and to all the country east thereof. Verse 26. And it is standing northly to the north, and it is standing to the mountains of Chew toward the north, and toward the sea of Miah, and it go forth to the east.
Okay, good. That's good. So we know Japhetic land is in the north, what you call Europe. Now, what do we see in 9, verse number 7 to 13? I'm looking to find out something else on the way of finding out something. So we know Japhetic land is to the north. All the land of north is supposed to be named after Japhetic land into the land. And what else happened?
The book of Jubilees, chapter 9, verse 7 and verse 13. Jubilees, chapter 9, verse 7. And Japheth also divided the land of his inheritance among his sons. Verse 13. And for Tigris, for Tyrus, there came forth the seven portions, four great islands in the midst of the sea, which reached to the portion.
Well, hold on, young lion. You got me bumming all over the place because you didn't get me right from the get-go in Jubilees 8:25. So I knew something wasn't sounding right. Now, why don't you look at 8:25? We'll make it 8:24. Make it 8:24 there, young man. And put an error on 8:24. What do 8:24 say?
Book of Jubilees, chapter 8, verse 24. It said, and this is the land which came forth from Ham as the portion which he was to occupy forever for himself and his son unto that generation forever. Verse 25. And for Japheth came forth the third portion beyond the river Tina to the north of the outflow of its water. And it is said,
now, wait a minute, young man. Hold on, young man. Japheth's portion, you see that black writing? Japheth's portion is North Asia, Europe, and five great islands. Do you see that, young man?
Now, that's a different... Book Jubilees,
Hey, Mother E, do you see where it talks about? Y'all got to get them belts off. You got, some back's got to be beat because I'm struggling all over the place right now. I can't get my hammer going like I want to get it. So now, according to Jay Fat's portion, mother, can you help those see out?
What is it? Jay Fat's portion. Alvin, Europe, and the five great Alvin.
Excellent. So JFAT's portion is them five great islands. So over there in Europe, you got five great islands over there. Every name will be having JFAT's names on it. So whatever name on it, it don't belong there. Everything in the north started off with the foundation, according to 11 verse 3. That's why everybody know their own land. Because everybody's land was named after their father. The whole northern world was called Japhetic's land. And all the sons that he had, but he had five great islands over there. And these five islands got names on it today. And now you know them names don't belong there. Them five great islands that's in Europe today, and you go on your Google map and find out what is the five great islands over there. It's supposed to be having the name of Japhetic peoples on it.
Right.
Because how you gonna know to go back to your own land if another name there? You got a name there called Europe. You got a land there now called, you know, when they tell you go back to your homeland, you know, and they'll tell you they from Europe, the white man and white woman, now you find out that's not so. That's not your land. Your land is Mount Seir. So how you going to be able to tell your kids in the time to come, you got to be prepared to flee to your own land, and you don't have this information, Mr. Preacher? You got to have information to know what land you're supposed to go to at a time appointed. That's the greatest legacy you can leave your kids. Because if your loved one is caught in a land that's not genetically, biblically connected to the blood of the soil of the land, they're going to be thrust through. So you have to tell them, wait a minute, we're not in the, regardless how much money we are made, we're in the wrong land. If you're not, you're going to be dealt with. And the minute your feet touch that soil, the clock starts ticking for your descendants. So Dr. Historian Boyd Duncan was telling them that the minute the white man and the white woman, our ascendants, put our foot on the shores of the northern world, the clock started ticking. Okay? So they know it. So they biting their thumb right now, like the Vatican City. You got a whole city called the Vatican City over there, right? But then you're doing now? They bumping their gums on their fingertips right now. God, dog. You mean, so high is the Almighty with us? And we up on the curse, because we don't belong in the land called Europe. We don't supposed to be in no land. This is Japhetic land. If he came back tomorrow, prophecy going to kick in. We better start figuring out a way to get back to where we from. And the same thing that you got to figure out where to get yourself back from and get yourself in the mindset or you'll be thrust through too. Got it? All right. Well, we see another young lion. He came out of his den now. He said, look at this. See, can I get a chance to holler on this microphone one time too now? I'm finally made it in. Woke up out of my den. Young lion, Brother Micaiah. Yahweh bid you there, see Ray.
Yahweh bless you there, see Israel. Oh, see Roy. Hallelujah, Yahweh.
Hallelujah, Yahweh. All right. So now, young lion is on it. So now, so we clear that a lot of teaching in this beautiful Black History Month got to be dealt with. But see, the Almighty, he got mad and done some things there. Now let me show you something I don't care how smart your leader is, but what did this leader just got to? Let's find what this leader did right here. Now, here goes. Now, what we know today, find out what this leader did. Brother Micaiah. Now, this is happening in 972. 992 B.C. What did this leader do that we can read? And I tell you what, let's go to about 1,000 B.C. Let's see what this leader did in 1,000 B.C. in 2 Chronicles chapter 8, verse 17 and 18, 21 and 22. Now, with what and what you have learned so far from Mother Z and the Overseer, let's see, can we analyze this and see what we come up with right now. Let's see what we can come up with by reading 2 Chronicles chapter 8, verse 17, 18, 21, 22. Brother Micaiah, come on.
Book of 2 Chronicles chapter 8, verse 17 and 18, 21, and verse number 22. The book of 2 Chronicles chapter 8, verse 17, read. Then with Solomon to Ezion, Geber, and to Elah, at the seaside in the land of Edom, Esau, and his five sons. Verse 18. And Haran sent him by the hands of his servants, Shif, and servants that had knowledge of the sea. And they went with the servants of Solomon to Ophir, and took their 450 talents of gold, and bought them to King Solomon.
Mm-hmm. So now, where are they at, according to verse 21? Where they go to?
It sent them on ship to the land of Ophir.
Okay. All right, good. So now, what do it say in First Kings chapter 10, verse 11, 22 and 23. Y'all mind? First Kings 10, verse 11, 22 and 23. What does it say?
All right. We're going over to the book of First Kings, chapter 10, verse 11, 22 and 23. First Kings chapter 10, verse 11 reads, and the navy also of Haran that bought gold from Ophir, bought in from Ophir great plenty of almug trees and precious stones. Verse 22 reads, for the king had at sea a navy of Tarshish with the navy of Haran. Once in 3 years came the navy of Tarshish, bringing gold, silver, ivory, ape, and peacock. 23. So King Solomon exceeded all the kings of the earth for riches and for wit.
Okay, King Solomon, David's boy, has a ship of navy. Where he had them at?
In Tarshish.
Mm-hmm. And where is Tarshish at today, brother Titus? Let's see what Tarshish is today in Romans 15, verse 24 down to verse 20. Where is Tarshish today? Because remember, everywhere you go, you got to leave your name there. So who is Tarshish, and what is Tarshish's name today? That we can read in Romans chapter 15, 24 down verse 28. Y'all learn. But Titus.
Yes, sir.
What is the name of Tarshish today?
We're going to the book of Romans, chapter 15, verse 24 to 28. Romans chapter 15, verse 24 reads, whensoever I take my journey unto Spain, I will come to you, for I will trust to see you in my journey, and to be brought on my way thitherward by you. If first
I'd be somewhat filled with your company. Verse 25. But now I'm going to Yada Judas, the minister unto the saints. Verse 26. Where I pleased them of Macedonia and to Achaia to make a certain contribution for the poor saints which are at Judas. Verse 27. It has pleased them truly, but their debtors they are. For if the Gentiles nor the king have been made partakers of their spiritual things, their duties also to minister unto them and carnal things. Verse 28. When therefore I have performed it and have sealed them, this proof, I will come by you into Spain.
Mm-hmm. So when you migrate to a land, according to biblical understanding, what do you supposed to do, young lions? Anybody help me out? When you migrate to a land, what do you supposed to do according to what we read out of the book of Jubilees and Jasher? What are you supposed to do when you migrate to a land?
All right.
Can anybody recall what you're supposed to do?
What are you supposed to do when you migrate?
Supposed to call the names. Supposed to call the cities after their names.
Oh, okay. So if I'm going to Spain, who is that? So who is Spain?
There's no name to that. There's no father to that name.
So Spain supposed to be what? Mother. Let's go to the book of Jonah in 862 BC. Let's see what Spain's supposed to be that we can read, Mother. Jonah chapter 1, verse 2 and 3. So we say we're going to Spain, where you get the Spanish language from. What's supposed to be when you see that name, Spain? A lot of people say they from Spain. You know, the Spanish people. But when we read the book of Jonah, in chapter 1, verse 2 and 3, Mother. Can you help me out, Mother? Mother, about the name?
Okay.
Chapter 1, verse 2 and 3. Can you help those see out, Mother? The book of Jonah?
Chapter 1, verse 2 and 3. Verse 2. Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up.
What you read, Mother? Hey, hold on, Mother. Hey, Mother.
You said Jonah?
Read verse 1,
Jonah,
verse 2 and 3. Yeah, Jonah chapter 1, verse 2 and 3.
J-O-N-A-H, Jonah. Jonah, read chapter 1, verse 2 and verse 3. It says, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. Verse 3. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of Yahweh, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof and went down into it to go with them from the presence of Yahweh.
So which one is right, Mother? Did he go to Spain? Or he went to Tarshish? Same matter. Which one is biblically correct? And how can we prove that? And how can we prove where he went to? What's biblically correct? Is we going to Spain? Are we going to Tarsus? Which one is biblically correct? What is the rules? What is the rules to this thing? What is the rules? Can anybody help me out? What's the rules?
Tarsus.
The name of the land got to be called after the father.
Your name got to be
called
after your
after father.
Okay.
So when you're calling that land Spain, it is wrong. You're supposed to call it Tarsus because Tarsus is who descendants is Tarsus that we can read in the 10th chapter. Who is the descendants of Tarsus that we can read in the 10th chapter of Brother Micaiah? Let's do a little reading to find out who is the descendants of Tarsus. So those that call themselves the Spanish people, Spain, and all that, that's incorrect biblically. See, that's what Boyd Doctor was saying. Hey, we got to at least know that the clock is ticking on us because you can't do things that we're doing with our guns and misinformation. So who is Tarsus that we can read since we know the blueprint of it, young lion? Let's read a little bit about Tarsus by going to Genesis chapter 10, and we'll read a little bit to find out who is Tarsus that we can read. So remember, it's about educating those that got an ear to hear. When you see the word Spain, it means Tarsus. And who is Tarsus? You got to go to Genesis 10 and then call out his father, and let's read it. Come on.
The book of Genesis chapter 10. Picking up at verse 1 down to verse number 4. The book of Genesis chapter 10, verse number 1 reads, "Now these are the generations of the sons of Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and unto them were sons born after the flood. 2. The sons of Japheth, Gomer, and Magog, and Madi, and Javan, and Tubal, and Meshech, and Tyrus. 3. The sons of Gomer, Ashkenaz, and Raphah, and Togarmah, verse 4, and the sons of Javan, Elishah, and Tarshish, Hedam, and Dodan."
Well, we want Tarshish. So who is Tarshish's daddy?
Javan. Javan.
Who is Tarshish's daddy? Who?
Javan.
Who?
Javon.
And who is Javon's daddy?
Japheth.
Oh.
Japheth.
Oh. Oh, okay. So when the children of Israel, you know, in Solomon's days, they put a ship of navy, although he was a great leader, what did he do for the people? What did he really do in 1000 B.C. to the people? What did he really do? And young lion, you read it already in the book of Jubilees. What did he really do when he went over there to Javanic land, and now he got a ship of navy, and he got people all over the place in 1000 B.C.? I mean, on record, he was dead before that. But what did he really do?
Mm-hmm.
What did he really do according to Jubilees chapter 9, verse 14 and 15? What did Solomon really do with all that knowledge he had? What did he really do?
The book of Jubilees chapter 9, verse 14 and 15. Jubilees chapter 9, verse 14. "And thus the sons of Noah divided to their sons, the present Noah, their father. And he buried them all by an oath, imprecated a curse on everyone that sought to seek the portion, which had not fallen to him by his lot." "And they all said, so be it, so be it, for themselves and for their sons forever, throughout their generations, to the day of judgment, of which Yahweh should judge them with a sword and with fire. for all unclean wickedness of their errors, whether they have filled the earth with transgression and uncleanness, fornication and sin.
And now, what have the Pope of the Roman Catholic Church done to all his peoples and all the members that's up under his banner? What he done did?
For the curse.
On who?
Yep.
On his people. On his people.
Of his descendants.
Where they at to be upon the curse?
In the Catholic Church.
Over at the Catholic Church, over at the Northern Land.
So, big as that place is, the number one Christianity man, he got every last one of his members over there in Vatican City upon the what, according to the Bible?
Curse.
Yeah,
look at Big Timothy Dolan mess. Sarah, we should cut you off for that. Well, what can I say that New York branch out of New York? Everyone that, if you caught there, so that's why I'm saying, if you're caught there, you have to remember one thing. But long as you know, and that was Professor Boyd Duncan was saying, you know, ever since our own people hit the shores of the northern world, we've been up on the curse. Now, let's take it a little further now. Let's go to 2 Kings 17 there, Brother Micaiah. We're going to 2 Kings 17 and look at verse 5 through 7, 13 through 16. 22 down to verse 24. Now listen to this. You tell me what's going on here. We're going to 2 Kings 17, 5 through 7, 13 through 16, 22 down to verse 24. You tell me what's going on here.
The book of 2 Kings, chapter 17, verse 5 down to verse 7, 13 down to 16, and 22 down to verse number 24. The book of 2 Kings, chapter 17, picking up at verse number 5, reads, "And the king of Assyria came up throughout all the land, and went up to Samaria and besieged it 3 years. Verse number 6. In the ninth year of Hoshea, the king of Assyria took Samaria and carried Israel away into Assyria, and placed them in Hala and in Harbor by the river of Gozan, and in the cities of the Medes." Verse 7. "For so it was that the children of Israel had sinned against the Yahuwah, their Yahuwah, which had brought them up out of the land of Egypt, from under the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and had feared false Yahuwah." Verse 13. "Yet the Yahuwah testified against Israel and against Yadadud by all the seers, saying, 'Turn you from your evil ways, and keep my laws and my statutes according to all the law which I command your father, and which I sent to you by my servant the seer.'" Verse 14. "Notwithstanding, they were not here, but hardened their neck, like to the neck of their father. They did not believe in the Yahuwah, their Yahuwah." Verse 15. "And they rejected his law and his covenant that he made with their father, and his covenants which he testified against them. And they followed vanity, and became vain, and went after the 17 nations that were around about them, concerning whom the Yahuwah had charged them, and that they should not do like them. 16. And they left all the commandments of the Yahuwah, their Yahuwah, and made them molten images, two calves, and made a grove and worshiped all the hosts of heaven, and served back. Verse 22. For the children of Israel walked in all the sins of Jeroboam, which he did. They departed not from them. 23. Until the Yahuwah removed Israel out of his sight, as he had said by all his servants the seed. So was Israel carried away out of their own land to Assyria unto this day. Verse 24. And the king of Assyria bought them from Babylon and from Cuthah and from Avah and from Hamath and from Sepharvaim and placed them in the city of Samaria instead of the children of Israel. And they possessed Samaria and dwelt in the city thereof.
Mm-hmm. So a land that you read in, go back to the 6th and 17th chapter, is a land that they were taken to. I want to expound on a land they were taken to there, young man. Come back to the verse 17 chapter you there.
What yes, is sir.
The land
Hallelujah.
That, could you read verse 6 and 7 again? What
yes,
it
sir.
Say in verse 6 and 7?
All right. The book of 2 Kings, chapter 17, verse 6 and verse number 7. Verse 6 reads, in the ninth year of Hoshea, the king of Assyria, took Samaria and carried Israel away into Assyria and placed them in Halah and Harbor by the river of Gozan and in the city of the Medes. Verse 7.
Right
and
there.
So it was.
Right there, right
mm-hmm.
there, right
mm-hmm.
there. So, what do you mean by the city of the Medes? Where is that? Where
Hallelujah.
Is that that we can read?
Hallelujah.
Where is this city over here? You mean the children of Israel were placed in the cities of the Medes?
Mm-hmm.
What is that that we can read? What the children of Israel is at in the cities of the Medes by the Assyrians. Where is this place at that we can read in Genesis chapter 2? And another name for Mede is Medad. Same name,
mm-hmm.
it's spelled different. So where is the children of Israel planted at according to Genesis chapter 10? I need the first name, then that name. I need the first name. I need the name of the song of Japheth, and I need to know
mm-hmm.
this name right here. Where they at?
In the book of Genesis, chapter 10, verse number 2. Verse 2 reads, the sons of Japheth, Gomer, and Magog, and Madi.
Oh. So the children of Israel, they were placed over there in who land?
Prophetic land.
So what that make the children of Israel then?
Cursed.
Mm-hmm.
You see that? So you mean the children of Israel is up on the curse too? Yes, yeah, see, right? They up on the curse too. I mean, Yahweh, he's no respected person. Now go back. Online, wherever you whichever can pull it up on me. I want the ancient Greeks, and I want to last and find out who was first over there, who went over there first, long time ago. So can you anybody help those see out in the historical documents facts about the ancient Greeks? And I want to get down where it says bottom line where it says. I know it should be highlighted with yellow on it, where it says the last two paragraphs. Something happened in the last two paragraphs. Who can help me out?
In
the last two paragraphs. Can anybody help those things out in the last two paragraphs?
Something about the question of the Negro.
I want this, No. It's no need to do no talking on you online. I want you
no,
to
talk about I will man.
You pull it up. Okay. Anytime you guess at something, you're gonna be wrong every time. You gotta only speak what you know. So now I want the article, I want the historical documents, facts. And I want the last two. That's what I'm saying. We got to rehearse these right
now.
Right,
we
got to come to you as we jump off. See? I want to find out who else. What else happened?
I got some on. I got some on the ancient Greeks. I got some on the ancient Greeks and the Arcadians and the Trojans. I have
excellent.
I have some about the Mycenaean Greek civilization came into existence around the 1600 BC. They originated in Egypt. You see. The first Mycenaeans or Icanians were Israelite colonists of the tribes of Dan and Judah who left Egypt in ships and came upon cities of Greek peninsula. These cities most likely dated back to the Upper Paleolithic, as witnessed by Plato in his account of a war between Athens, Atlantis,
good,
and Athens.
Good. But now, let's find out what happened. That's the real about Solomon. What happened where it says, now what?
Now, hallelujah, what? Now, the Danites who left Egypt before the Exodus under the leader Danius took the majority of the Greek cities, Argos, Pylos, Sparta, Mycenae, and others. The Judites who left Egypt before the Exodus were under the leadership of two brothers named Charcoal and Darla, whose father was Zorah, who was one of the two sons of Judah, took the cities of Athens and Attica, which is eastern Greece, and the city of Troy, along northwestern Turkey. Charcoal took Athens and Darla took Troy.
Oh, so now, descendants of Judah, Zorah had two sons. And they left instead of the big dignitaries, instead of following Moses going back to their promised land, they, in their own mind, talked to Dan, since Dan liked to travel all over, you know, in his ships. They asked Dan, is there any land that we can go where we can be in our position in our mind, you know, kings or something. So these two boys didn't go the way that the Bible tell you to go. The Bible tell you not to do what? According to what we've been reading all day long in the book of Jubilee. What the Bible says, don't do.
Take no land.
Don't leave your land. If you leave your land, you're upon a curse. So now, Zorah's brother is Perez, and both of these are descendants of Judah. So Charco and Dada, they found them two places they can be king at. And where are these two places lying? Is what are these two places at right here? Where are they at? Where did you
they are in.
They became king. Where
are they at? In the eastern Greece, Charcoal took Athens and Darda took Troy.
Yeah, where did you place located at? And who land?
In the Phatic land.
Oh! So, so they became, although they went to the Phatic land, so what did Charco and Dada, descendants of Judah, Zorah, put all the peoples there when they migrated and put their foot on Japhetic land? What did they just have to do?
Putting it under a curse.
You mean you put, now out of Charco or daughter of Trot, who came up out of them, and both of these peoples is the sons of Judah. Is that right?
That's right.
Hallelujah.
And what do Judah look like, Mother E, and 14 verse 2 of Jeremiah? What do they look like? What do Judah look like?
Look at Jeremiah 14, verse 2 read. Jeremiah chapter 14, verse 2. Judah mourn, and the gates that are languid, they are beautiful black unto the ground, and the cry of God thy Judah is gone up.
What? So what color is charcoal and bottom that got Athens and Troy? What color are they?
Beautiful black.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. They are. But it seems like to me you saying that like it's a question, Mother. It seems like to me you're making a question out of that. I need an answer. So when I see anybody that's descendants of these two boys, what color are they?
They are beautiful black.
Right. Okay, good. Okay, well, I'll let you have that one, get away with it. But, so we found out right now, but some big dignitaries came out of these boys right here that gonna take them somewhere. I want to kind of play something, and I want to see what we get out of this. I want to play something, and then see what you get out of this. I want to play something. Now we got these two boys leaving. They didn't go to their promised land. They went to Japhetic land. So they put. They put everybody up under a curse, didn't they?
Hallelujah.
Now they did. Now I'm going to play something. I want to play something, and then we're going to take it from there. I'm just going to play something. And listen, and tell me what name come about out of this. What name?
Rosen Briggs called Aeneas at the Royal House of Troy, which had two branches. The oldest of those of the house of Dardanoi, of Dardania, and the second, the house of Troy, which became the most powerful and the most famous. Aeneas' father, Anixes, was of the city of Dardania, and his mother was Aphrodite, making him a powerful demigod, and his grandson, Tros, the length state, then his name, the city of Troy. When Troy fell, Aeneas fought heroically, and he was saved from death by the gods more than once. But eventually, he was forced to escape, carrying his aged father and Anxes on his back. He led the Trojan survivors into exile. After a long time of wandering, they moved to Italy, where they settled and were the progenitors of the great Roman Empire. Aeneas had a son called Ascanius, who in turn had a son. Ascanius asked the sorcerer what his son would be. What would he be? What did the future hold? The sorcerer said, your son will be very well loved, a great man of many achievements. He will rise to the highest honor. But I must warn you, his birth will be the cause of both of your deaths. Ascanius couldn't stand the thought, and he killed the sorcerer. As predicted, Ascanius' wife died, giving birth to Brutus. There they hunted. They came to a deserted city and found a temple of Diana. In the city there was a statue of the goddess which gave answers if by chance it was questioned by anyone. Brutus went with 12 men to perform a sacrifice to Diana, Jupiter, and Mercury and poured libations to all. Brutus stood before the altar of the goddess, holding in his right hand a vessel full of sacrificial wine mixed with the blood of a white hind. And with his face upturned towards the statue of Godhead, he broke the silence with these words. O powerful goddess, terror of the first blaze, he has humbled the wild blue plants. You who have the power to go into orbit from the airy heavens and the halls of hell pronounce a judgment which confirms the earth. Tell me which lands you wish us to inhabit. Tell me of a safe dwelling place where I am to worship you down the ages. And where from the chanting of maidens I shall dedicate temples to you. This he said 9 times. 4 times he proceeded to brown the altar, put on the wine which he held upon the sacrificial hearth. Then he lay down on the skin of the hind, which he had stretched before the altar, and in short slumber he at length fell asleep. It was then about the 3rd hour of the night when mortal beings succumb to the sweetest rest. It seemed to him that the goddess stood before him and spoke these words to him. Brutus, beyond the setting of the sun, past the realms of gold, there lies an island in the sea. Both occupied by giants. It is now empty and ready for your folk. Down the years, this will bring both suitor to you and to your people. And for your descendants, it will be a second Troy. A race of kings will be born in your stock, and the realm itself of the whole earth will be subject to them. Brutus and his men sailed the world looking for an island and found many other places, engaging in more great battles, suffering pirate attacks, and hard times without food or water, and eventually acquiring many riches. Eventually, they came to the island that at that time was called Albion, and it was very beautiful, with many trees, rivers which teemed with fish, and all the dragons wished to live there, but it also had giants, huge and ugly creatures. The Trojans soon drove these into the hills and caves with their weapons and their skill, and in time, the island began to look as if it had always been this way. Brutus named it Britain after himself, and so the people Britons, and the language British. Then they came to the island at that time called Albion, and it was very beautiful, with many trees, rivers which teemed with fish, and all the Trojans wished to live there. But it also had giants, huge and ugly creatures. The Persians soon drove these into the hills and caves with their weapons and their skill, and in time, the island began to look as if it had always been this way. Brutus named it Britain after himself, and so the people Britain, and the language British, acquiring many riches. Eventually, they came to the island that at that time was called Albion. And it was very beautiful, with many trees, rivers which teemed with fish, and all the Trojans wished to live there. But it also had giants, huge and ugly creatures. The Trojans soon drove these into the hills and caves with their weapons and their skill, and in time, the island began to look as if it had always been this way. Brutus named it Britain after himself, and so the people Britain, and the language British.
Now, who want to take that? Who want to take that? Let's see who can build a foundation on that right there. Who want to take that?
Well, Sid, I tell you this. One thing I did hear in the beginning because I heard her say something about daughter of Troy. I heard her say that in the beginning part.
Out of their loins came a man named what?
Now that's the part
a
I didn't hear.
A man named Brutus. Hold on, young lion. Out of his loins came a man called Brutus.
Yeah, why Brutus the Troy.
Yeah, right. Yeah, Brutus. Now Brutus migrated and came where? With it, and he found a place, and he named the place what? And who is Brutus? And who did Brutus begot? Who did Robert the Bruce begot? Now, We know. Okay, go ahead. We're going to take that. We know what? What do we know right now? What do we know right now? That he come out of Troy. And who are the Trojans? And who are the Trojans?
The Trojans comes from are the tribe of Judah from Darda.
Okay, so what color is they?
Yeah, black. Black to the ground, black and blue.
Okay, and out of them come a man called Brutus.
Right, out of them come Brutus.
And Brutus became to be known as the first king of Britain.
Of Britain. One of Britain,
he's
right,
the first king of Britain, and he was called Robert the Bruce. So now, what color is Robert the Bruce that was the first king of Britain? What color is he?
He's black. Black to the ground. Black and blue.
Okay, if he's black to the ground now, let's go back and find out then. Let's go back. If he's black to the ground, right? Right.
That's right.
Now we going back to the Negro question part four.
Mm-hmm.
We going back and find out something about the Negro question part four. Now, Robert the Bruce is, what color is he?
He's black to the ground.
He's the first king of Britain. He's the first king of Britain. Now, let's go to page number 9. He's the first king of Britain. Now let's find out what happened. We're going to 9, and we're going to look up under the Scottish king list. Now, let's look at what it says, Robert II, what year? Page number 9.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody
all right.
Page
9. Yes, Robert II. Scottish King list, Robert II,
1371
to 1390.
Stop it there. So what color is Robert the II if Robert the First is Robert the Bruce? So what color is he?
He is black and beautiful, black to the ground.
And what tribe did they come out of? What are these robbers coming out of? What tribe?
They come out of the tribe of Judah through the lineage of Brutus and Darda.
And they coming out of Troy and okay. So we know what color they are, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now what do it say on the left side? Where it talks about the years of what? Where it talks about the Scottish Stuart King. What do you say about them?
King James come from a long line of black Scottish Stuart kings, 343 years of rulership in Scotland.
Okay, good. Now, let's go back to the right side of page 9 when it talks about the robbers and keep reading down the robbers. Forget about the years now. We got that down pat. Let's read down what happened next. Robert the who? Robert the three. And what happened next?
We got King James the first. James the second.
Okay, what color is he?
Black to the ground.
All right. All right. King James the second. Number two. What color is he?
James II, black to the ground. Black and beautiful.
All right, the next one.
James 3, black to the ground, black and beautiful.
Yeah,
James 4,
okay, the next
black to the ground, black and beautiful. James 5,
Now what king is this right here in 1 and 5? What king is this one right here? What does this king do that we can really, who is this king right here, King James the Sixth. Who is this one?
King James the Sixth is the one that had wrote the Bible. Well, we got the Bible put together. King James the Sixth of England, the first of King James the Sixth of Scotland, the first of England.
Oh, so he's so this King James is the one that had the Bible translated into English, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what color is this King James that had the Bible, the 46, 47 scholars, what color is this King James VI?
King James VI, black and beautiful, black to the ground.
And where is he from? What is his, he coming from Robert the Bruce, and Robert the Bruce traces his direct descent from who?
Robert the Bruce traces direct descent from daughter of Troy. Daughter of Troy that traces direct descent to the tribe of from Zoas, which is from the tribe of Judah.
Yeah, well. So those that said King James is a white man, what would you say to them?
The devil is a lie.
See that? So you see, that's how you find out that King James is a black man, a black and beautiful man from the tribe of Judah, Flora, because we just traced his whole lineage, them leaving, but this is the only king, because every last one of these kings, which is black, but by them being over there in Europe, what is all of them is up under?
The covenant.
They up under what?
You say what is all these kings under?
Who told?
They under a curse.
To leave. They
under a curse.
Because Yahuwah didn't tell them to go. He didn't tell David. He didn't tell none of the children of Israel to go over there. That's not the way. So regardless, whatever your achievement is, Robert the Bruce, that was worshiping Diana of Ephesians. He was worshiping Diana and done all that. And only one done anything what good was King James VI.
Mm-hmm.
When he broke his trend and told him, go back to Perez and get the true information. But every last one of these black kings from Judah, Zorah, have put their peoples up on a curse by leaving their land in the 1600s and going where they put on the land of Japhetic land. Now, read it one more time, young man. When you do these things with your own mind, go back to Jubilees, chapter 9, 14, and 15. What will happen? Now, what will happen? Although King James is proven to be a black man from the descendants of Zorah, but what is all of them up under behind Chaco and Dada by leaving Moses' name 100-some years earlier and going to Japhetic land? What did they really do according to Jubilees, chapter 9, 14 or 15?
The book of Jubilees, chapter 9, verse 14 and 15. Jubilees, chapter 9, verse 14. And thus the sons of Noah divided to their sons in the presence of Noah, their father. And he bind them all by an oath, imprecating a curse on everyone that sought to seek the portion, which had not fallen to him by his lot. Verse 15. They all said, so be it, for themselves and their sons forever, throughout their generation, to the general judges, of which Yahweh should judge them with a sword and with fire, with all the unclean wickedness of their error, wherewith they have filled the earth with transgression and uncleanness and fornication and sin.
Mm-hmm. So what did Zora's two boys just got through doing to those when they followed Dan, when Dan told them, yeah, it's land everywhere, so let's let's break rank and let's go to Japhetic land, and when you can be king over there, what really happened? What did the Danites just got through doing, and Chaco and Dada, what have they just got through putting their peoples up under and themselves?
A curse.
Hallelujah. Well,
curse themselves.
So what have the Roman Catholic Church in the Vatican City and the Latter-day Saints over in Utah, what the hell they just put their peoples up under?
A curse.
Hallelujah.
Curse.
Ain't that something? So if you're a Roman Catholic Church member, by being the headquarters over there in the Vatican City, everybody sit there is up on the curse, and everybody part of that organization, just like Dada and Chaco put his people up on the curse by leaving when Moses was told the promised land was to the east. They chose to go another direction in Japhetic land. So regardless, you got black kings, beautiful black kings over there, not, you all up on the curse. Unless you repent and return back to where you came from. Now, this is what's going to happen. Hey, Mother E. Now, let's read exactly when they hear this message, what they got to do. We go on to Isaiah 66, Mother. And we'll get a closing statement, then we'll bring Mother Z in. Statement after Mother E. We go on to Isaiah 66. Now, this has got to happen, Mother. See, let's see what it says in verse number 19. One verse. Isaiah 66, verse 19.
The book of Isaiah.
Young man, Brother Titus Gabby, read verse 19. And a closing statement.
The book of Isaiah, chapter 66, verse 19. And I will set a sign among them, and I will send those that escape of them unto the nation to torture all and loose that draw the bow to Tubal and Jabin to the isles are far off that have not heard my fame, neither have seen my glory honor. And they shall declare my honor among the Gentiles.
So you see all of them over there. But now you're hearing that everything over there, make a choice. That if you over in Japhetic land called Europe today, you will have to make a choice. Hey, Mother, give me a closing statement, and we'll bring Mother Z in and get a remark from Mother Z. What you got to say there? Come on, give me a closing statement there, Mother E.
Thank you and praising y'all for the class and for the ones that listen to the class and for the teachers. And for each and every one that's in the class, thank you, praising Yahweh. Hallelujah.
Excellent. All right, Mother Z, you want to add anything to that, Mother Z? You on the clock, Mother Z. Yahweh be with you.
Yahweh bless and keep you, seal Israel, a royal seed. I'm just going to read in Psalm chapter 13. I'm going to read the 13th chapter. Praise the Yahweh. Praise, O ye servant of the Yahweh. Praise the name of the Yahweh. Verse 2. Blessed be the name of the Yahweh from this time forth and forevermore. Verse 3. From the rising of the sun unto the going down of the things. The Yahweh's name is to be praised. Verse 4, the Yahweh is high above all nations, and his honor above the heavens. Verse 5, who is like unto the Yahweh, our Yahweh, who dwelleth on high. Verse 6, who humbled himself to behold the things that are in heaven and in the earth. Verse 7, he raised up the poor out of the dust and lifted the needy out of the dunghill. Verse 8, that he may sit him with princes, even with the princes of his people. Verse 9, he made the breast be, he made the barren woman to keep house and to be a joyful mother for children. Praise ye, the Yahweh. Hallelujah, Yahweh.
Excellent, Mother Z. Remember, back on airways again, no class tomorrow. Be back on network tomorrow, Wednesday. No class tomorrow, back on Wednesday. Come on. Now, in Isaiah, Brother Titus, what it says in that 66 verse 20?
All right, Isaiah. Go on to Isaiah 66 verse 20. Isaiah 66, 20. And they shall bring all your brothers for an offering to Yahweh out of all nations upon horses and in chariots and in litters and upon mules and upon swift beasts to my righteous government, Yahdai Judah, said Yahweh. As the children of Israel,
is it?
Hallelujah, Yahweh.
Go ahead.
Bring an offering and a clean vessel to the congregation of Yahweh.
So he says, sooner or later you're going to wake up and understand wherever you at, you're going to be prepared to come back. If you know your bloodline takes you back to the eastern world, that means that sooner or later, you got to get your mind right. That's why it's best to tune in this broadcast unless you can. I don't care what you got going on and wherever you're at now. When it's all said and done, you get your mind right to get on this voice back to your bloodland that you, because of any other land besides the east and the west, as the children of Israel is, but the ones in the west got to come back to the east. But you stay in the west until you understand it's time to come back to the east.
And all these lands,
you have to make up your mind. You got to start getting prepared to come out of them lands. Before that dreadful day of Yahweh. All right, young lion, close thing and come out.
The whole chap.
Come on there, Brother Titus, close the statement. What you got?
All right, I'm going to the Wisdom of Solomon. Wisdom of Solomon. 6. Wisdom of Solomon, chapter 6. All right, it says, verse 20. Therefore, the desire of wisdom bringeth to a king. Verse 21. If your delight be then enthroned in Sceptre, O you kings of the people, honor wisdom, that you may reign forevermore. Hallelujah, Yahweh. Hallelujah,
Yahweh. Hallelujah, Yahweh. All right, there, young lion, Brother McKay. Give me that Luke chapter 13 there, young lion. And look at verse number 28 and 29. Luke 13, listen good. See, listen good. So we come to tell you what the Bible says. So wherever you at, if you're up under the Roman Catholic Church from the Vatican City, you, and you know about it, your clock really starts ticking once you know the truth. Mm-hmm. 13, 28 and 29, what it say?
Book of Luke, chapter 13, verse 28 and verse 29. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth when you shall see Abraham and Isaac and Israel and all the seers in the kingdom of Yahuwah, and you yourselves thrust out. Verse 29. And they shall come from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south and shall sit down in the kingdom of Yahuwah.
So you ought to get your mind right, you children of Israel. Now back up to 13 chapter, figure verse 4, and read down until we get our point. Let's go to 13 chapter, verse 4, but you can be clear what he's going to do in days to come. 13 verse 4. What does it say there, young man? 13, 4.
Look at Luke. Look at Luke. Chapter 13, verse 4, read. On those 18 upon whom the tower of
Hold on, y'all. I'm sorry about that. Make it Isaiah. Isaiah 13, verse 4, and we'll read down to verse 16, the closing statement, and we'll catch you all Wednesday at 6 o'clock. No class tomorrow. Isaiah 13, verse 4, down to verse 16, the closing statement.
All right. The book of Isaiah, chapter 13, picking it up at verse number 4, and we're going to read it down to 16. The book of Isaiah, chapter 13, verse 4, reads, the noise of a multitude in the mountains, like as of a great people, a tumulation, noise of the kingdoms of nations gathered together. The Yahuwah of hosts mustered the host of the battle. 5. They come from a far country, from the end of the heavens, the Yahuwah, and the weep and the weapons of his indignation to devour the whole land. Verse 6, howl you, for the day of Yahuwah is at hand. It shall come as a destruction from the Almighty Yahuwah. Verse 7, therefore shall all hands be faint, and every man's mind shall melt. Verse 8, and they shall be afraid. Pains and sorrows shall take hold of them. They shall be in pain as a woman that travails. They shall be amazed one at another. Their faces shall be as flame. Now, behold, the day of Yahuwah cometh, cruel both with wrath and fierce anger, to lay the land desolate, and he shall destroy the sinner thereof out of it. Verse 10, for the stars of heaven and the constellations thereof shall not give their light. The sun shall be darkened in his going forth, and the moon shall not cause her light to shine. Verse 11, and I will punish the world for their evil, and the wicked for their sin. And I will cause the arrogance of the proud to speak, and will lay low the haughtiness of the terrible. Verse 12. I will make a man more precious than fine gold, even a man than the golden wedge of Ophir. Verse 13. Therefore I will shake the heaven, and the earth shall remove out of her place, in the wrath of Yahuwah of hosts, and in the day of his fierce anger. 14. And it shall be as the chaste rope, and as a sheep that no man taketh up. They shall every man turn to his own people, and flee every one into his own land. 15. Every one that is found shall be thrust through, and every one that is joined unto them shall fall by the sword. Verse 16, the children also shall be dashed to pieces before their eyes. Their houses shall be spoiled, and their wives wrecked.
Well, suppose you found over there in the Vatican City being a Catholic. What will happen to you?
You're in a curse.
So what will happen to you according to the Bible?
Oh, you're going to be... will be destroyed.
I'll leave it like that there. Young man, Take your time and close out, and we catch y'all Wednesday, 6 o'clock. Tomorrow, no class tomorrow, back on Wednesday, 6 p.m. Then one thing, you got to know who you are. Over to the young line for the closing statement and come out.
All right. Thank you, Yahuwah, for another blessed day to read his word. Thank you, Yahuwah, for the opportunity in life to meet the sick Israel of C. Roy. Thank you, Yahuwah, for my wife and children today to teach them the word, Yahuwah. I also want to thank Yahuwah for our elders, for our mother, for the brothers, for the sisters, and all the six anointed camp. And I want to read in the book of, I want to read the book of Psalms. I'm going to pick it up at chapter 69. I'm going to pick it up at verse